Would you stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word? Psalms chapter 1. Blessed. I'm reading out of the Old King James. Blessed. Some translations may say happy. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now flip over to Psalms 127. Psalms 127 is a beautiful picture of the home and the family. Jesus talked about the man that would build his house upon the sand and the man that would build his house upon the rock. And of course, the analogy there is very, very evident to us, those that would build their house upon the worldly values and those that would build their house upon God Himself, the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty, so are children of one's youth. Happy is the man who hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. May our Heavenly Father bless the reading of His Word, and will you join me as we pray together? Father, we acknowledge today we stand in Your awesome presence, God, and we need You. As the song said, we need You every hour. As men of God, as people of God, as people of faith, as our faith is being challenged, as we are seeing things happening in our native land, Father, that we would have never dreamed about. God, we can only imagine the evil that must have went through the mind of young Dylan Storm Roof. God, we cannot imagine how that he could sit under your word and be loved by a culture and embraced in the arms wrapped around him, and your love demonstrated in his presence. But God, each of us in a different way perhaps face that same evil every day that would seek to engulf and would seek to destroy and would seek to tear down and to completely remove you from every facet of the lives of people. God, I pray today across this nation and across this world where your word is being proclaimed and in the pulpits where men of God and people of God are standing today, God, I pray that your word will go forth in power. I pray, God, that it will bring forth that which is pleasing unto you, that it will accomplish that which you send it forth to do, that it will not return void. And God, I pray a holy hedge around our homes and our families. God, I pray for a divine hedge around every family that makes up the body of Dutch Fork Baptist Church and the family of faith here. For all of our guests today, Father, who are a special part of this worship service, God, and their very presence has brought with them a sense of your awe and a sense of your love and a sense of their desire for family. God, I thank you today that we are a family of faith at Dutch Fork. That we're not just a church, we're not just a building, but we are people of God who love one another, who deeply care for one another. God, I pray today that we'll never, ever take for granted the freedom that we have, that you have given us, Father, through your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to our hearts today. And may you be glorified in all that is said from this pulpit today, and may it bring forth fruit, Father, in the lives of your people and in each of us, Father, that only eternity can fully reveal the results thereof. Thank you that you're an all-forgiving and an all-merciful and all-loving God. So wrap your loving arms around each of us today with the pains, the sorrows, the troubles, the trials that we bring, each unbeknowing to others, Father, that are maybe sitting next to us on the pew. May we be able today to hear a word from you in our hearts. Forgive us, Father, where we failed you, where we have walked away from you, where we have turned our backs from you, and an evil has prevailed in our nation. Bind our hearts today as believers as never before, God, that we will stand against that tide and that we will demonstrate the love of Christ in the face of evil, even if it cost our life. To you we give all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise through Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I'm always grateful to Naomi, and she always does a great job in producing my slides each Sunday. We have them, Naomi? Behind me. I was looking here. I'm sorry. Don't have them on the screen there. This morning I was coming in. I like to listen to Ravi Zacharias from Norcross, Georgia. If any of you ever have an opportunity to listen to him, go to 88.5, free commercial, at 8:30 on Sunday morning, and listen to this great man of God. He spoke about some of those very things that are on that screen there this morning, and I thought to myself, surely God wants me to share this message today. He talked about the time that Paul lived in Acts chapter 24, and he talked about the cultures of that day and the clash of those cultures and how that Paul stood in the face of evil, having been arrested, having facing Felix, Drusilla, how that the Roman government had brought its political system together, how that the Grecians had and the Greece government had given people philosophy, how that the Jewish people had given faith and brought God into the picture, and how that Paul and Christianity were clashing. You remember Paul was arrested because he preached the resurrection of the dead. You see, apart from the resurrection, man has no hope. Man's hope is based in the fact that the tomb is empty and that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand and that he ever lives to make intercession for you and I. And so Ravi Zacharias was talking about our day and our time in America and what we are facing as a family, and particularly as men of God and the faith community, and how that we are being attacked on every side. Our values are being distorted and twisted and turned. And the term political correctness is filling in our culture. Nothing is wrong and nothing is right anymore. You don't have a right to tell me, and I don't have a right to tell you. And so we are living in a time where men must be men of integrity. Integrity is who I am when there's no one present, when Roman's not present, when my children and John and Ashley and Joni and Tim are not present, and my grandchildren to be. Integrity is what is inside of me that makes me be the person I am. And so Job was challenged by his wife, if you remember, from all the trials that he faced and that he went through in the book of Job, and he was challenged in the area of his integrity. And men, as you go out today, you're being challenged. Single moms, you're being challenged today. Some of you are having, as single moms, to fulfill a dual role, so to speak, a role that God really did not create you to have to fulfill. You're having to be a mother, but also a surrogate father. A challenging time. A very challenging time. So integrity. Job kept his integrity. Even when his wife said to him, Job, why don't you curse God and die? And Job chose to keep his integrity. There's another word up there called ethics. Ethics is where we develop our values. Ethics determines our values. Our values come from our childhood, our parental guidance, our school and educational background, our political association, our faith association. There was a time in the American culture when faith was the number one influencing factor within the culture of this nation. It has completely flip-flopped today. No longer is faith the number one influencing factor in the mindset of where we develop our ethics and where we develop our values. And so suddenly we find ourselves approving things that heretofore are wrong according to the Word of God, that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God. Yet we vote for them. We stand as men of God. And we find ourselves convoluted in our value system. Then our credibility. Our credibility is now not determined by the Word of God. Thus saith the Word of God. Our credibility is determined what someone thinks of us. And so we find ourselves today in the business sector, if we're not careful. We find ourselves in the workplace. We find ourselves in the faith community. We're stepping over, stepping on whoever we may to get where we want to get to become who we think we ought to be. And so our character then becomes flawed. Our character, the person that God created us to be, the person that God desired us to be, the person that God had in mind that we were to be in order that we might fulfill the purpose that He created us for when He created us in His image and likeness, that purpose becomes distorted in our minds. And we wrestle and we fight. Our family suffers. If I was Satan, what was the one thing that I would attack in America first and foremost? The very first institution that God created, the family. Home. When He created Adam in His image and His likeness and breathed in His nostrils the breath of life, and then He created Eve, He said it was not good that man should be alone, and He created woman. It wasn't that God made a mistake. He's making a statement. I need Roma. Even when Roma don't agree with me, I need Roma. I do. Could I hear a big amen to that, man? Yeah, you know that. I need her. I mean, she's lady enough to interrupt me in the middle of one of my sermons and correct me because she doesn't want the wrong thing to go out over the airways. And I respect that. I need Roma. And God knew that. Now, there's sometimes she just gets on my nerves, y'all. I want you to know that. She's slow. And some days I wonder, you know, are we going to get done what we need to get done? Are we going to get there? And men, sometimes we invariably marry somebody just like, now I love my mother to pieces. She was a little soot, about 4'9". She was just a little package. But oh my goodness, that was a sweet little lady, but a pack rat. Now her excuse was we were raised in the days of the Depression. We didn't have much. Roma doesn't have an excuse. She hadn't been raised in the days of the Depression. Family. It is a struggle today to fight for the unity of the family. And family is being redefined for us. But yet we have to minister the love of Jesus Christ. We have to minister the faith that saves us, that binds us together as the family of God and the family of faith. We must. Our friends are so valuable and so important to us. Our friends stand with us. Two are better than one, the scripture says. He that hath friends must show himself friendly, Jesus said. Friends are necessary, friends are needed, and friends will stick closer than a brother in a time of great stress, in a time of great trials, in a time of great tribulation. A dear friend. And I say this over and over and over. I thank God for the staff at Dutch Fork Baptist Church, because we are friends, aren't we, Leon? Yes, we are. I walked up to Naomi this morning. I looked her in the face standing right over there. Last minute, spur of the moment. She could have said, Pastor, I'm sorry. My plate's full this morning. I said, Naomi, I need you to help me with something. She's doing double duty today. I'm grateful for the staff of this church. I'm grateful for the deacon body of this church, for the men of faith that stand with me as friends in the gospel. Our faith. Truth that God gives us, that binds us together, that holds us together, that creates love within our heart for one another, compassion and caring and understanding and a desire to love as Christ loved. And yes, this morning is dark and as bleak as, and I have not tried to make it any darker and bleaker than it is, but as dark and as bleak as it is, we do have a future. Amen? And that future is secure in the fact that this morning we know that every one of those nine individuals closed their eyes here and entered the glories of heaven, the place that Jesus said He'd gone to prepare for them. Next slide, Naomi. And so that leads us to 10 values that I want to quickly, share with you. I'll put this up here and I don't pay any attention to it. I want to quickly talk with you 10 values that is so important. And this can apply to a mother or a father, or if you're raising children, if you're a grandmom and a granddad, if you're raising grandchildren or great-grandchildren, this can apply to any of us. So move on to the next slide. Let them see you be and do something courageous. Do you think what happened Wednesday night in Charleston at Mother Emanuel Church was courageous? Well, that's the ultimate test. When you sit next to somebody and he suddenly turns and he pulls out that gun and he takes your life. You see, fear is destructive. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Let them see you do and be courageous. Dads, moms, they today in our society, they're heroes of everything but in the Christian faith. We have athletic heroes, and I love sports as much as my son. And I'm thankful that he and my precious daughter-in-law, our precious daughter-in-law, are here with us today. Looks a little bit like Jesus. John, I hope you've been able to see your dad be courageous. Joni, I hope you've been able to see your dad be courageous. I failed you all on a number of occasions, but I hope you've been able to see dad be courageous somewhere. And you've seen your mom be courageous. She stayed with me, been faithful to me. Next slide, Naomi. A work ethic. If there was ever a day in our country, somehow we are developing a mentality in our country that I deserve. I deserve. I should have. I want to. I want to. I want to. I want to. I wonder if it started with Burger King. You can have it your way. How many of you have noticed Burger King's on the way out? I wonder if that might be... No, I'm just kidding. A work ethic. A work ethic. I'm sad to have to tell you today that I know men that do not have a work ethic and they wonder why their home is in the shambles that it's in. A work ethic.
Work harder than anyone else around you. Let them see your work ethic. Let them understand that a work ethic, God created work, God ordained work. Work is good, men. It won't hurt you. It may make you feel like you're going to die sometimes. And I used to think, Daddy, are you going to kill me? Next slide, please. Choose wisdom. We talked about that a little earlier. As I told you about those things to pray for when you put that coin in your pocket today. Choose wisdom. Listen to me. If their life is no better than yours, how are they going to help you with yours? If their life is just the same mess yours is in, how can they help you get out of the mess that you're in? If there's as much confusion around them as there is around you, how are they going to help you to find out who's the author of confusion and know who to turn to? Always rub shoulders, men, with somebody who's above you and who has been there so they can tell you and help you know how to get there. Have you ever gone up to somebody and asked directions at a gas pump? You're traveling and you think they're local and they're traveling just like you. They've never been there. They can't help you get there. They're just as lost as you are about that particular place that you're trying to find. That happened to me just recently. Next slide, please. Avoid the engagement and the entanglement with worldly enticements at all cost. They are traps. They are snares. They are the tool of the enemy to destroy you, men. You cannot. It's an impossibility. You cannot embrace culture with one hand and culture's values and hold on to God with the other hand. There's not a gray area. You cannot survive in a gray area. You cannot live in a gray area. You will be torn and yoked and like a yo-yo, back and forth, back and forth. Boy, that floor's slick. Avoid them at all cost. Get out of them if you're in them. You're leaving a legacy for your children that's going to follow behind you, and they're going to say it's okay because Daddy did it or Mama did it. If you're in it, get out of it. Your values are being reproduced into the lives of your children, and what you think is okay, they're going to perceive to be okay because they saw Dad do it. And so it's going to be acceptable to them. So a little shot won't hurt anybody. We told our children when they were born, when they got old enough to understand, alcoholism was on both sides of our family. And we said to them, that DNA is in you. That snare is in you. Don't you ever let it go to your lips, because when you let it go to your lips, it will trap you. Eventually, it will trap you. Don't you think for one minute that you'll be strong enough to resist it. You can't go there, men. Moms, you can't go there. Next slide. I'm a patriot. I love America. I thank God every day that I was born in America. I'm a veteran and I'm proud of it. Yes, you Army guys that crawled on your tummy, I was chicken, so I flew above you. Because I figured it was harder to move a flying target up there than a crawling target down here. I believe in American patriotism. And I believe it's still the greatest country on the earth today. I believe that with all my heart. I believe it, ladies and gentlemen. I believe it. And I want my children to know that America is strong because, listen, I said it in the Sunday school class this morning. You didn't heard it in the Sunday school class. You must need it twice. I'm going to tell you again. But listen to me. Listen to me. Please listen to me. There are those today that would try to do everything they can to destroy this nation. Because listen, Listen, you want to know why the attack is coming against the faith community in America? Because you can't destroy America until you destroy the faith community in America. That's what has made us strong. That's who we are. We believe in an almighty and a sovereign God. We believe in a holy and a just and a merciful and a forgiving God. We believe in a loving God who loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Lord and our Savior. I believe in Americanism. I believe in patriotism. I believe that God let this nation be formed. And I believe that God raised up the leaders to lead this nation. And if there was ever a day and ever a time that men need to decide, this is where I'm going to stand and say as Joshua, as for you, I want you to know, me and my house, we are going to serve our God. I challenge you today when you leave this place to decide, as for me and my house, we are going to serve our God. Next slide. Assume that the greatest gifts are hidden. Help your children look for them. Jesus gave the parable of the pearl of great price. And how that the man went and sold all that he had to purchase that pearl, that treasure that was buried in that field, because that pearl was of the greatest of value. Why? Because a pearl can only be formed through strife, trials, troubles, and tribulation. You and I are, in a sense, a pearl. Help your children to become pearls so that a godly young man will want your daughter to be his wife and the mother of his children. So that a godly young lady will want your son to be her husband and the father of your children. Help your children discover. We yelled and screamed at John and Joni, literally, bloom, bloom, bloom where God has planted you. We expose them to everything, and I'm not bragging on our kids today. They're just here and they make Daddy feel so proud and Mama feel so proud. And I'm so blessed today to know where they are when sundown comes. That may not mean something to you, but it means the world to me. Help them find what God created them to be. John called me one day. He said, Daddy, I need to talk to you. So his mother and I met him in Orangeburg at the Chestnut Grill. By the way, if you're in Orangeburg and want to go, a good place to eat, Chestnut Grill work. Daddy, something happened to me today. I left this place in Georgia. But before I left, this dear lady walked up and looked at me and said, John, you need to be a pastor. God had already revealed it to his little wife. You see, he doesn't call one without calling the other. Right, Mindy? Right, Mary? He turned on his radio. He's a big sports fan. He wanted to find something on sports, so he just started going through his radio trying to find something on sports, and his dial stopped on this old preacher preaching on Isaiah chapter 6. Here I am, Lord, send me. That was in July of last year. I can tell you because I had a doctor's appointment in Orangeburg. I'll never forget that date. October the 12th, the same day the twins are due. October the 12th of last year, John and Ashley surrendered to the ministry and moved to the Summit Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Now, his mother and I knew it a long time ago because, you see, before we even made it home with Joni and John, we was at an altar in First Calvary Baptist Church dedicating them to the Lord, praying the Word of God over them, reading the Word of God over them. Are they perfect? No. They don't have a perfect daddy and a perfect mama. I don't know any children that do. Do you? But they're both married, godly mates. And I'm so thrilled Tim's going to be the father of my first two grandchildren, Roma's first two grandchildren. And I'm so thrilled that God has given me the joy to see them begin to stand on the Word of God and believe the Word of God. Help them find those things that are important, the Word of God in their life. Because you've heard me say this before from this pulpit, when everything else is gone, all you're going to have is the Word of God and the power of prayer. Next slide. I'm just about finished. Remember, everything in life counts. Everything counts. Everything. Nothing is wasted. Everything is important. Next slide. Remember all your commitments and covenants, Dad. Made with and before God, so keep them. How many of you remember when your daddy promised you a whipping? Did you get it? Now listen carefully what I'm about to say here. Would to God that we would keep our other commitments the way we keep the promise to our children that we're going to discipline them. Amen? Think about that for a minute. Isn't it amazing how easy it is for us to keep that commitment, that covenant, that promise? Yet the others we can kind of let go. One last slide. I like this one. Maybe y'all don't like the word in it, but I like it. Because that's Johnny Muller. Johnny Muller screws up. Y'all may not think so, but Johnny Muller screws up. Johnny Muller messes up. Sometimes quite frequently. Sometimes more than once in a day. And at least every day. When you mess up, when you screw up, stand up, step up. I did it. I'm wrong. And make up. Make up. Listen to me. I had a couple tell me one day, I said, "Preacher, we've never had an argument." I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "I've just done a lot of walking." Yeah, you find what works for you, amen? You find what worked for that elderly gentleman, it worked for him. He said, "I've just done a lot of walking." Whatever it takes, listen to me. Whatever it takes. All right, this is the last one, I promise. Focus on the stewardship of life and the one to come who gave his life for you. Don't focus on the evil. That's what Satan would want you to do. And if you do, he wins. You heard that this week. Oh, the news waves was covered with the word God and with Jesus and with love and forgiveness and mercy. This all across this nation and across this world. Thank God. Thank God. Focus on the stewardship of this life and what God wants to accomplish through you. He raised you up. He created you. He brought you to this earth. You're living this day. This is your day. This is your time. You cannot live in the past. Focus on the stewardship of life and the one to come and the one who gave this life to you. And I promise you, if you'll do that, whether you're a mother here this morning or whether you're a father here this morning, if you will do that, I promise you it'll make a difference. If you begin to think about these 10 values that we've talked about here this morning, I promise you it'll make a difference in your home and in your family. Would you bow with me, please? Father God, in the strong and the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you so much, Father, for your love. And God, today I pray that no one will leave this place today, Father, without knowing that they know within their heart and their life that the gospel, the power of the gospel changes lives and transforms lives and homes and families, and that it does work. and that it is powerful, and that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it brings peace and joy in the midst of sorrow and pain. So God, today I pray that you would touch every hurting heart in our congregation and in our family at Dutch Fork. I pray, God, that you touch every hurting heart across this nation and across this world. By the power of the Holy Spirit and through your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would you bring healing and wellness spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. May no one leave today, Father, without examining the claims of Christ upon their life and without the desire to give their life to Him. May they come. May they share that with us. May they desire to be a part of the family at Dutch Fork. May your Holy Spirit lead them in the commitment that they need to make today publicly in this body of believers, either by profession of faith, or by statement of their faith, or by transfer of a letter, Father, from another church of like faith and order through believers' baptism. God, would you draw people to you today for your glory? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.